imagine opening your kitchen oven, right? But you aren't pulling out a loaf of bread. You're checking on a tray of fragile newborn chicks that are just warming by the fire. Welcome to this deep dive where we are stepping back in time.
Yeah, that was just like a standard Tuesday for Sophie Leroux back in the late 1800s.
Exactly. And we have this incredibly specific, vivid source material today. It's a letter from 1986 written by Claire Gosselin.
Right. She's capturing her childhood memories of her grandparents, Moise and Sophie. And it totally shatters that whole pioneer stereotype we all have.
Oh, definitely. We always assume that era was just, you know, bleak survival. Just chopping wood and freezing in a cabin.
Right. But this letter uncovers this really surprising balance. It was rugged survival, sure, but also this vibrant, highly cultured home life.
The sheer self-reliance is mind-blowing. I mean, Sophie rigged this clever well pulley system. She literally lowered a whole cupboard down into the well just to keep her milk and butter cold.
Wow. And Moise was running his own blacksmith shop on the farm just to resole the family shoes. Every single resource was stretched to its absolute limit.
Right. And survival was, it was visceral. I mean, the pig butchering process.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't outsourced to a factory, obviously. Yeah. Moise would stun the pig with a sledgehammer, slit its throat, and hoist it into a tub of boiling water.
Boiling water to scrape it clean, yeah. And then they saved the blood and intestines for Sophie's homemade sausages.
Exactly. Nothing went to waste.
But wait, Claire actually mentions they fed the pig a good breakfast first.
Yeah, they petted it right before doing all of that.
See, that sounds incredibly cold to me. Like a modern closed-loop ecosystem, sure. But doesn't that level of brutal utility make them sound a bit, I don't know, hardened or unsentimental?
Well, that is definitely a modern luxury speaking, I think. For them, it was just this intimate understanding of the cycle of life.
Right.
Taking a life to feed your family required a really deep respect. I mean, that exact same man swinging the sledgehammer was the one out in the freezing rain gathering lost spring lambs.
Oh, wow, right. So the grandkids could safely bottle feed them inside.
Exactly. And think about Sophie warming those shivering chicks directly inside the kitchen stove oven. They weren't hardened by the farm. They were deeply attuned to it.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess being that attuned gave them the psychological space to be, well, surprisingly sophisticated and honestly a bit rebellious.
Oh, totally rebellious. I mean, if you think a modern side hustle is exhausting, Sophie kept a barrel of homemade beer hidden behind the kitchen cupboard.
To secretly sell to passing travelers, a convent-educated bootlegger. I love that so much.
That's amazing. And Moise had his own expensive passion for purebred percher on horses, which Sophie playfully teased him about, by the way.
But that brings up such a fascinating dynamic. Sophie had this refined convent school upbringing in Quebec.
Right.
And Moise sounds like the ultimate rugged frontiersman. How did two people with such drastically different backgrounds actually run a pioneer farm together?
Well, they leaned into this cognitive synergy. They filled in each other's gaps. Mm. Like, Sophie brought formal literacy to the frontier. She actually used her education to teach Moise how to write his own name.
Wow. But Moise wasn't just some uneducated laborer, right? He had this raw, brilliant spatial intelligence.
Oh, absolutely. He could calculate the exact cubic feet of a massive haystack entirely in his head just by looking at it. Nobody could shortchange him.
That is incredible.
Yeah, his lack of formal schooling was completely offset by a powerful practical intellect. Together, they built a home that prioritized culture just as much as labor.
Right. They had that massive ornate organ imported into their living room, the one decorated with mirrors.
Yes. And Moise loved to sing and dance. But he also balanced that passion with really severe self-discipline.
Oh, the Lenten discipline. He would put his pipe up on a shelf by the clock.
Yep. And it would stay totally untouched until Easter Sunday. It just shows an incredible sense of internal willpower.
It really does. When you step back and look at these specific memories, you know, from spinning raw gray-white wool to the kids playing with those porcelain dolls.
It was with the painted black hair, yeah.
Yeah.
And sinking into those handmade feather mattresses.
It paints such a portrait. They didn't just survive the elements. They built a life with immense texture and personality and joy.
They really did. It was so much more than survival.
Which leaves us with something to think about. When you look at your own family history, what seemingly ordinary objects, maybe a hidden beer barrel, a wooden butter mold, or a pipe resting on a clock shelf, might actually hold the truest secret to understanding who your ancestors really were.